Game by Andy Hamilton, starring James Grout as the Professor, Jimmy Mulville as Thomas, Robert Duncan as Scumspawn, and Andy Hamilton as Satan.
You see, well, the trouble with Satan is he's not really someone you can take your problems to.
No, he's more someone you get your problems from.
So I haven't felt able to tell him how I've started to experience this feeling, this desire to express myself more as an individual, because I just feel that I have so much more to offer.
Ah, why do all employees bellyache like this, eh? When I was alive, I had a basin full of it. I was besieged by self-pitying underachievers, even the office cleaner. I shouldn't be doing this, she said. I'm too old to be a cleaner. You work me 12 hours a night, 7 nights a week and 10p an hour. It's not right. I deserve better than this. So I told her straight. Oh, stop whining, mother. One more word out of you, and next stop, it's Euthanasia Gulch.
Greetings, fleshlings, and how are you?
Well,
I'm not interested. No, I'm just making conversation. Just because someone asks how you are doesn't mean they want to know. Any moron knows that. Isn't that right, Scumspawn?
Indeed so.
Yes.
Have you been out causing discord in the world of men?
Oh, haven't I just? I tell you, I've discovered this brilliantly efficient method of mischief-making. Oh, it causes the most massive explosions of conflict and blind hatred, and all I have to do is drive around London in a white van. Sometimes I don't even have to drive inconsiderately. Just seeing the white van seems to set them off. It's a racial memory, I don't know.
There's nothing clever about triggering road rage.
No, you're right, it is pretty easy. But did you know, right, that you only have to change the direction of 2 of the one-way signs in Oxford, and all the cars just keep going round and round? Yeah. There are drivers blacking out from hunger. It's hilarious.
I must say, though,
that as road rage manufacture goes, it wasn't quite the finest coup of my career. No, that would have to be Paris, 1995, when I drove that 45-foot-wide milk float round the periphery. Or possibly the German Grand Prix in 96, when the Nürburgring mysteriously acquired a primary school. And Michael Schumacher found himself stuck behind 35 Renault Meganes doing the school run. And then, right, just as Schumacher was going ballistic, I pulled up behind him in a white van, you know, and gave him one of those annoyingly pointless toots. I tell you what, Prof, you can come up with me on my next motoring jaunt, if you like. Yeah, we can go up the fast lane of the M1, ramming cars that don't get out of the way, the way Thomas used to.
It was not ramming, it was controlled nudging. Well, apart from the last time.
Oh, what, when you nudge that oak tree with your head? Oh, I love being out on the roads. Somehow they're like the perfect metaphor for humanity. Great teeming rivers of selfishness and aggression.
On the other hand...
We don't like sentences that begin, on the other hand, do we? No, they tend to lead to trouble.
Now, I was merely going to say that, to me, roads epitomise the positive, cooperative nature of man.
I've got a very bad feeling about this conversation.
Really, it's amazing when you think about it, that millions of cars can whiz up and down those great arteries of communication. I mean, it just goes to show that, for the most part, man is highly social. Now, I know all generalisations are dangerous.
Including that one.
What?
All generalisations are dangerous is a generalisation. So, if someone says all generalisations are dangerous, we should ignore what they say on the grounds that it is inherently dangerous. 15 love to me, I think, Scumspawn.
Yes, indeed.
Scumspawn, is it my imagination, or are you doing less grovelling than you used to?
Sorry, my liege.
What's happened to your body language? Where's the arse-licker stoop?
All right, I'm sorry, your supreme totalness. I got the impression that I was crowding you somewhat, that you were irritated by the grovelling.
Well, that's true. Grovelling can be irritating, but not as irritating as the absence of grovelling. Now, where were we?
Well, as I was trying to say before you started quibbling over semantics...
Is quibbling the right word? No, I think probably querying is the verb you're looking for, actually.
Look, my point is that man is successfully social, and this is because, at an everyday level, most people respect the otherness of other people's lives.
Oh, right. What, like the way you respected the otherness of your widow's life? By interfering from beyond the grave to stop her marrying her new love?
Well, that was different.
Different?
Yes, different in the sense that she... Actually, I don't think it's useful to get bogged down on specifics.
No?
No, because then the broad argument gets swamped by all the details.
Oh, right, yeah, yeah. I see, what, like the details of how you got me to sabotage your wedding ceremony?
Well, yes, I did ask you to stop it. But I didn't stipulate that you should materialise in the church and expose the vicar as a closet Satanist.
Well, it stopped the ceremony, didn't it?
And I certainly didn't ask you to do that while taking on the form of Gabby Roslin.
I just felt that the word of Gabby Roslin would carry a little more moral authority than that of Beelzebub. All right? Call me a pessimist, if you honestly. You try and be helpful, I don't know.
How is she, anyway, my Deborah?
Oh, seems okay.
When did you last see her?
When I was double-parking the white van by the roadworks on Wandsworth High Street. Honestly, you're Deborah's language, eh? She swears like the Queen Mum's parrot.
Well, where was Deborah going in Wandsworth?
Well, nowhere. Thanks. Thanks to me, but in theory, I'd say she was en route for the prison. It's where Rory O'Donnell is.
Oh, right, the jockey.
She was trying to marry, yes.
So he's been found guilty, then?
Yeah, he got 4 years in prison for race fixing and a 1 week ban from the jockey club.
And the fact that he needed the money to pay for his six sisters' hospital fees...
was not accepted as mitigation, no. The judge said it was irrelevant, as was the fact that the judge himself had lost $3,000 on one of the fixed races. Yes, His Honour said he had no hesitation in imposing the maximum sentence allowed by law, which in his opinion was woefully inadequate.
Is she still in love with Rory?
Yeah, she's still afflicted with that cringe-making emotion. In fact, she intends to marry the man.
What, in prison?
Well, it'll have to be now, won't it? Because somebody got their church wedding abandoned, didn't they, eh? I'm afraid your selfish conduct in all this effectively demolishes your picture of man as a respecter of otherness. It's game, set...
No, my general point still stands. Because if humans didn't display this mutual respect, then you wouldn't have the great cooperative social ventures like cities, or the international air networks, the UN, the space programme, the World Cup.
The World Cup?
Yes, yes. I mean, of course, I know there's always an element of conflict and competition. I mean, who was it said that sport is the continuation of war by other means?
I don't know, but you'd obviously been to Millwall.
But it is... In essence, something like the World Cup is...
A sleaze fest, that's what it is. Characterised by greed, corruption, jingoism, violence, and endless opening ceremonies involving parachutes. I mean, it always ends up as a celebration of man's revoltingness, as any such event is doomed to do.
Well, there's a generalisation, if I ever heard one.
I can prove it. Here and now, right, we'll stage a World Cup between the nations and men.
But here in hell?
Hmm.
Well, it's hardly a suitable venue for a World Cup.
Well, they had one in America.
But there's no grass here.
You can play football on hot cinders. You just have to keep on the move and go easy on the slide tackles.
Now, what about the ball?
I told you, you go easy on the slide tackles. Right? And if I'm right about human nature, as I invariably am, then this tournament will descend into total carnage. And if you're right, then, well, I'll eat my horns.
You're on.
Oh, yes, this is another one of my brilliant ideas, isn't it, Scumspawn?
Yes, indeed, my prince.
And I'll have the rest of that grovel now, please.
It's a fantastic idea, your infernal perfectness. I feel honoured to have witnessed its inspired inception, O supreme emperor of the realm of infinite despair.
Yeah, it's not bad, not bad, and the body language is more servile, you know. But you know earlier, when I referred to the arse-licker stoop...
Yes, my prince?
I was speaking figuratively.
Oh.
Well, if you ask me, Scumspawn, this tournament's got shambles written all over it. I mean, you can't call this a proper sporting event. There's not a single hospitality box.
Did you used to go and watch many football matches then?
No, I don't like crowds. They're always full of other people. I did go and see a Manchester United home game once, though. Not very entertaining. There were no punch-ups, and the start was delayed.
Really?
Yeah. Just before kick-off, the whole of Old Trafford was deafened by this incredibly loud klaxons of this alarm system.
Oh.
Yeah, apparently a Mancunian had tried to enter the stadium. And of course, my accountant advised me I should get a season ticket for Chelsea, because you can get quite a lot of tax relief on that bigger mortgage.
Did you play much footy at school?
No, I wanted to, but I was never picked. Not once.
Why? Weren't you any good?
I was the best. They said I was too greedy, claimed I never passed the ball. I can still hear that sanctimonious sportsmaster, Mr. Grove. Your problem, Thomas, he said,
is you don't realise it's a team game. And your problem, I said, is you got a very ugly wife. 3 detentions I got for that, for a bit of playful banter.
Thomas, can you just come over here a sec?
What now?
Now then, men, I just wanted to say to those of you who will be playing for England that not only are you representing your country, but more importantly, you're representing humanity.
Oh, right.
So, what I beg of you is that you approach this competition in a sporting manner. So, no elbowing, no stamping on opponents.
What, not even if he's lying helpless on the ground?
No.
Not even if he's Argentinian?
No. Satan assures me you've all played football at a reasonably high standard.
I played for Crystal Palace.
Well, all right, apart from you. You're all reasonably proficient, mm-hmm. Eh?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Which brings us to the question of who should be captain.
Well, Percy should be skipper. He captained a team that won the FA Cup.
Oh, is that right? Are you a cup winner?
Oh, yes. With the old Carthusians in 1881. It was an epic encounter. Old Carthusians beat Old Etonians 3-0. I bet people are talking about that match still.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And are old Carthusians still dominating the world of football?
Not totally, no. To be honest, the public schools rather moved out of soccer into rugby union.
Oh, I knew that would happen, yes. It was the invention of the scrum that did it. Once word got round that there was a sport where it was legal to stick your face into your friend's bottom, then...
Yes.
No, Prof, you ready to start?
I'm just trying to decide on the captain.
Well, I appointed you manager, so chop-chop.
Why is he the England manager?
Because he's got a turnip-shaped head. Now, don't question my judgment, mortal.
I played for Crystal Palace.
Well, that's not my fault.
I've made my decision.
Uh-huh.
Thomas.
What?
Put on this armband. I'm making you captain.
You're making me captain?
Yes, and I'm expecting you to set an example of sportsmanship.
What are you doing?
Well, I'm making Thomas skipper because I think it might just be the making of him. It'll force him to interact with others and acknowledge their needs.
But this is Thomas we're talking about. A man who Saddam Hussein refused to buy chemicals from on the grounds that he was too dodgy. Thomas, who 7 times on the trot was voted Man of the Year by the publication Bastards Weekly.
No one's ever made me captain of anything.
Well, I know it's a gamble.
I mean, no one's ever shown that much faith in me.
Yeah, and we're about to find out why.
I hate to be as cynical as you know, always seeing the worst aspects of people.
They're the only aspects, Prof. Now, let's get this tourney underway.
Small point, we don't have a ref.
Oh, yes, a ref. By tradition, a complete tosser who gets everything wrong. Scumspot!
Yes. Yes, Your Magnificence.
Is that it?
Well, I...
You do know what happens to any demons who fail to meet their grovelling quotas, don't you? And who I deem have ceased to serve a function?
Well, I did once hear this rumour that you explode their bodies into millions of particles of demon dust, and then you sweep them up with a dustpan and brush, and empty them down the waste disposal abyss.
Oh, Scumspawn, you know how ridiculous the rumour mill gets in this place? I mean, you really shouldn't believe every horror story you hear.
Of course not.
But you should believe that one. Now then, I'm appointing you referee for this tournament.
Why, thank you, my prince. Well, I'm honoured.
But we must be able to find someone fully qualified. I mean, surely some refs go to hell.
All refs go to hell. But I want Scumspawn.
Oh, I get it. You're hoping that if all the matches are incompetently refed, then the tournament would degenerate into violence and chaos. And you'll claim to have proved your point.
I'd hate to be as cynical as you, Prof. Always seeing the worst in devils. All right, now then. You demons have been given the special treat of being allowed to watch the mortals play their football tournament.
What's football?
Well, it's basically the same game as that one we play, you know, where 2 teams using only their feet try to score in each other's goal, except that they use a ball instead of a priest. Okay, so I'm off to take my place in the temporary seating. So will you welcome, please, for the opening match of the Underworld Cup, the teams of France and Italy. Can you just let me through my seat, please? Excuse me. Sorry, that's still my bovril there. Sorry, thank you. Just shut up my seat, please, properly.
I'm looking forward to this. I seem to recognise the chap warming up on the wing for France. Mm-hmm. Over there.
That's Jacques Cousteau, yeah, a keen footy player. Yeah.
Oh, right. Is he any good?
Yeah, yeah, pretty good, pretty good. Bit of a diver, you know. What's happening?
It looks like some crowd trouble.
Sod off, you potty bunch of greasy, stinking Euro pumpsies. Bugger off back to your garlic and your airy women.
Oh, no, who let Jane Austen in? Get her under control, come on.
First one who touches me loses both ghoulies.
I still can't get over how vulgar she is.
Well, you should never confuse the writer with their work. I've told you before, Prof, yeah.
I never knew she was a football fan.
Oh, yeah, used to support Mansfield Park Rangers. There we go, they're off. My money's on Italy.
Yes, well, they're certainly pushing the ball around now.
Yeah, yeah.
Who's the tall midfield player?
Hey, oh, that's Borgia. Hey, that bloke's offside, ref.
Borgia?
Uh-huh. Handball, handball, come on.
What, as in Cesare Borgia? Well, what's he doing out there?
Well, it looks like a sort of holding role in front of the back four. So.
No, but Borgia's a 15th century murderer. Ah, I get it. You put him out there to sabotage the tournament by causing trouble. I knew I shouldn't have let you find the players.
Yeah, well, you couldn't have found them, could you? You don't know where everyone is. I mean, it would have taken ages, wouldn't it? And we haven't got forever. Well, all right, we have got forever, but... but I don't think eternity should be used as an excuse for poor time management, do you?
Yes.
can you just shut up one seat and let Fergus sit in there, please?
Fergus?
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, I should have introduced you. Fergus, this is the Professor.
Fergus, O'Donnell, pleased to meet you.
Oh. I've put Fergus in charge of the Irish team. Only this is an Irish team with a difference.
And why is that?
It's got Irishmen in it.
That's right. Five of them. There's three who had Irish grandparents, two who had an Irish great-grandparent, and one who had an Irish setter.
So, have you got a footballing background, then?
Oh, yes. Played semi-pro for many years. And my boy was on Celtic's books for a while, but then young Rory chucked it in to become a jockey.
A jockey. So he'd be Rory O'Donnell, the jockey. Yeah?
That's right. Do you know him?
Well, Prof, do you know Fergus's son, Rory O'Donnell, the jockey?
I've met him through a mutual acquaintance.
Oh, right. And would this be recently?
Quite recently.
And how is my boy?
He's fine. Just let's watch the game, shall we?
Oh, right.
Oh, oh, did you see that tackle from Borgia? Wasn't that brilliant?
Bloody.
Referee, what's he blown up for?
Right. It was a violent challenge from behind.
It was slightly mistimed.
It was not slightly mistimed. He used a dagger.
What other?
That Frenchie's just play-acting. I don't believe it. Now he's pretending to have severed an artery. Look, the ref's not going to fall for that old trick, is he, surely?
Oh, he bloody is. Look,
Send him off.
He's red carding Cesare.
Oh, give him
what are you doing, you great Pillet scumspawn? Who's the wanker with the horns?
Who's the wanker with the horns?
Okay, lads. Now, you've done England proud so far. In the face, I might say, of some pretty awful provocation.
Absolutely.
Especially in the game against Romania. But fortunately, Scumspawn handled the Vlad the Impaler incident very well, I thought. Yes, and as for your captaincy, Thomas, you've shown leadership and a marvellous sense of fair play.
Yeah, nice one, Thomas.
Absolutely. Yeah, well done, Thomas. What do I do now?
Sorry?
When people say nice things to you... what do you do?
Ah, well, you just accept them with a smile.
Oh, all right. So it's all a bit new, I'm afraid.
Well, you're doing jolly well, Thomas, old chap.
I'll get you for that, you bastard!
I'm so sorry. Force of habit. I'm something.
Hey, Prof. Are you lot ready for your semi-final?
Ready and confident.
Good, good. Oh, incidentally, your opponents have had to make a few team changes.
Really?
Mm.
But the Germans looked very strong in the last round.
Oh, yeah, but you know what it's like when you've got so many big games so close together. You know, you need to make full use of a large squad. Yeah, so they brought in this nippy little striker. You can just see him warming up over there.
That's Attila the Hun, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. He's got a very nice left foot, hasn't he?
Yes, but whose is it? And why is he waving it around on that pole?
He's just trying to psych us out. But it won't work, will it, lads?
No.
We won't be provoked.
No.
What is he doing?
He's rising to the occasion.
That's right. I'm captain of England. And captains of England behave with dignity and honour. Two things you know very little about.
Well, I bet you have to look them up.
Who's in
in charge of the German team.
I am, Scunthorpe. And Scunthorpe, I trust you're not going to ref this semi in the same officious, prissy, over-strict manner as the previous games.
Well, you gave me the honour of being referee, and I'm determined to uphold the rules, if it's the last thing I do.
And it may well be, believe me.
Which brings us to the problem of Attila the Hun.
Problem?
Yeah. You see, I'm afraid Attila the Hun's ineligible to play on grounds of nationality, because he's... Well, he's not really German.
He's Attila the Hun. Hun. You know, unless he was called Attila the BMW-driving sauerkraut scoffer, he couldn't be more German, could he?
Hey, but you see, I looked it up, and the Huns were a nomadic tribe who swept into the German lands from the plains to the east. So I'm afraid, strictly speaking, Attila does not qualify to play for Germany. He can play for Ireland.
I don't want him to play for Ireland.
Well, I bet when you appointed Scunthorpe as ref, you didn't expect him to be so authoritative. Still, life's full of surprises.
Not for me, it isn't. I'm the Springer of surprises, not the Springy. And I hardly think, Scunthorpe, that defying me in front of witnesses constitutes a return to acceptable levels of grovelling.
You have to keep to the rules, or anarchy beckons.
No. The dustpan and brush beckons.
Oh, let him have Attila.
Hey?
Well, you're obviously one of those people who just has to cheat.
But we're not bothered. We'll rise above it. Bobby, lads!
Well said, Skipper.
Good. That's right. I mean, the whole point of this event is to show sport as a manifestation of man's civilised social nature. So regardless of what you do, we shall play this semi in a spirit of sportsmanship and fair play and decency as we whip your big hairy arses.
Yeah. I can't believe it.
Oh, come on, fellas. You did England proud.
I can't believe it. Even in the eternal afterlife, beaten on penalties.
By Germany. Again.
Come on, heads up.
I just came back to say hard luck, fellas. I thought you did really well.
Well, we thought you did really well. The way you stood up to Satan's gamesmanship. Especially when he tried to substitute his entire midfield with that pack of Rottweilers.
Well, they weren't on the team sheet, you see.
Quite right.
Also, even though there is no specific rule on the use of attack dogs, I'm pretty sure it's against the spirit of the game.
Absolutely.
Quite.
You know, I think in time Satan will come to respect the firm line I took on the matter. Don't you?
Yes, I'm sure you're right.
I mean, I know he used some harsh words at the time with a lot of F's and C's in them, but I think that was the adrenaline talking.
Yes, I expect so, yes.
You're not singing anymore. You're a professor. Well, and another well for luck, eh? Oh, what went wrong, man?
Well, anyone can lose in a penalty shootout. It's a lottery.
Not when England the planet isn't. Betzer and Thomas. Oh, that penalty. You'll be disappointed when you see that one back.
Yeah, well, I'm hardly likely to see it back, am I, given that we're... Oh, no, you've bloody well filmed it, haven't you?
Yes. From every conceivable angle, so we can also relive the rather unseemly confrontation that occurred after your penalty miss.
Well, he started taunting me, didn't he? Attila. So I gave him a mouthful.
No, you took a mouthful out of his ear. And the ensuing brawl finally confirmed this tournament's descent into the antisocial barbarism that I so shrewdly predicted.
But you conspire to provoke it.
Oh, yes. Blame me. Go on, I don't care. As the Antichrist, you get used to criticism.
Can I just say, my prince, how very much I'm looking forward to officiating in the final.
Yes, you can say that, only there isn't going to be a final.
No final?
Don't need it. I've won my moral argument with the prof here, so I'm just off to disperse all the demons and take off Jane Austen's muzzle.
The World Cup finals,
that's
a referee's dream.
Hello there, Professor.
Oh, hello, Fergus.
I just wanted to say bad luck on the penalties and everything.
Well, I was thrown by the crossbar, not being a piece of street.
Yes, all right.
could we have a word in private, Professor?
All right, very well, yeah.
It's just, I got the impression earlier that you knew a bit about my son's circumstances, and, well, as a parent, I worry about him, you know. I mean, he's got a good heart, but he's always been a bit of a chancer, and he's not in any trouble, is he?
In trouble?
Yes.
Well, actually, is... No, he's fine.
Oh, thank goodness. I've always felt that all he really needed was the love of a good woman.
Yeah, well, he's got that now.
Really? Oh, that's fantastic. What's her name?
Deborah.
And, what's she like?
Oh, she's wonderful.
Oh, that's really putting my mind at ease, Professor. You know, I do miss the lad.
Yes.
Funny thing. When you're alive, you miss your loved ones who've died, but you never imagine they might be missing you.
No. No, you don't.
Well, I'm away off to meet Pitts. Nice to have met you, Professor.
Nice to have met you, Fergus. I know you're around here somewhere, Satan.
Surprise! Yeah, I was being invisible right beside you. I never get tired of doing that. It's a great laugh, especially in saunas.
Fergus was some sort of a test, wasn't he? Well, how did I do?
Ooh, you told a lie about his son not being in trouble.
To protect his feelings, yeah.
Yeah, well, maybe you scored a bit of a late consolation goal there.
There you are, my liege. You disappeared while I was in mid-sentence.
Ah, yes. Now, talking of sentences, it's time for yours.
Sorry?
Well, you did defy me, didn't you? Several times, in fact, so I'm afraid it's the waste disposal abyss for you, dustboy.
Oh, please.
Bye-bye, scumspawn.
Are you really as pathetically weak as that?
I beg your pardon?
Are you so insecure that the moment an underling asserts his individuality the teeniest bit... You feel so threatened you have to pulverise into dust. It's laughable, isn't it, Thomas?
Hmm? Yeah? Oh, sorry, I've got a bit of Attila's ear stuck between my teeth.
Or is it you're jealous, eh? Jealous of the fact that Scumspawn, unlike you, is changing and growing. Jealous that he's becoming less dependent on you. Well, cat got your tongue?
Listen,
He's gone.
And you know why, Professor? You struck a nerve. That's why he ran away. He knew you were speaking the truth. That's why he's so angry. He just can't handle it. And that's why he's coming back with a dustpan and brush. Oh, my God!
Old Harry's Game featured Andy Hamilton as Satan, James Graff as the Professor, Jimmy Mulville as Thomas, and Robert Duncan as Scumspawn, with Felicity Montague, Philip Pope, Nick Revel, and Michael Fenton Stevens. The programme was written by Andy Hamilton and produced by Paul Mayhew Archer.